Blog Talk Radio.
Bless you all. Hallelujah. I have Grandma Vicky with me tonight. I'm excited about that. I have Mother Jennifer with me, too. Praise Yah. If you can hear me, please give me some tens. If you're in the chat room, thank you for listening. Thank you for following. All praises to the Most High Yah. Great is His faithfulness week after week, year after year. Mother Jennifer, if you can hear me, please let's get a sound check.
Yes, ma'am, Sister Ashley, I can hear you very well. Blessings to you and blessings to all the daughters of Zion. And blessings to Grandma Vicky. It's so good to have you on the broadcast. I remember the last time you were on, and I think it's been way too long. So bless you, Grandma Vicky, and welcome. Sister Ashley.
It has been a long time. Because of tonight's topic, she would be perfect to open up our show, and we'll get right into that chat soon. But I want to hear about your week, Mother Jennifer. I appreciate the videos that came out from Georgia, from Goshen, from Kansas City, and I'm sure many more videos will come about the block party. So it was interesting to see, and it's a beautiful thing, right, for you to experience, for you to feed that many people, for everyone who's followed along, chat with us about how it was for you.
Definitely a beautiful thing, Sister Ashley, just to see the men of Straightway and even the women of Straightway just truly come together and to labor. It really is a marvelous thing to see the labor of love that the men put in. It was really hot here in Georgia, and the men started every day before 6 o'clock, about 5:30, 6 o'clock. They were starting their day, and they didn't finish until well into the evening. And, you know, it really was some very hot days here in Georgia. The temperatures were about 88, 89 degrees, but I believe the heat index was probably closer to about 98, 99. even 100. It was very humid a couple of days, and the brothers just worked as if there was no sun. You know, they were all unified. They were together, and it was just a beautiful thing to see. It was a beautiful thing to watch. There was a wonderful spirit on the women in serving the men. I've never seen a group of selfless people come together. Even as we walked down the road to serve the men their meals, I was even watching as the heathen were in awe. And they just, you know, there's one man sitting in his vehicle across the street, and he just watched our Hebrew men work. He watched our Hebrew men just labor. And it really does put you in awe. It really does. And I know it's the Father working through them, but the dedication and the love and even the excitement, you know, these brothers were more excited for Elder than even Elder's family is for this home. So I just wanted to really thank the men of Straightway and thank the women of Straightway Georgia, including Straightway Cleveland and Straightway Alabama, for all the sacrifices that everybody made, those communities coming together and, you know, just giving us the help that we needed. It really is appreciated. And I want to thank our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for training the men up, for being a man who saw a vision over almost 3 decades ago and just really following and running with that vision and truly showing our people who they are, showing our people who we are, so that we can operate in what the Father has called us to be. And we're just truly being restored, and it's just a wonderful thing to see. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Thank you for every word of it. Thank you again for those who allowed us to follow along with the videos, as busy and as hot as it can be doing what you're doing. We still got to follow along, so appreciate that, and maybe even more videos to come as Saints get home, settle in, maybe do some editing and uploading. Appreciate it. So I also wanted to give the announcement really quickly. Where is my card, Grandma Vicky? Let's see. She don't know. She's like, I just got here. Let's see. Daughters of Zion Tea Party. I can't forget to announce this from time to time. At the Feast of Tabernacles coming up this fall, Sister Justice, I got her phone number and I got Ajali's email address. I'll give that as we get closer. But just bear in mind to have your tea party dresses and your garment attire. It's requested, not required, for a tea party for all the daughters of Zion. Hallelujah. Any age. There are special guest speakers. There is tea and snacks. There is pictures and much, much more. But you've got to RSVP by August the 1st. That's why I'm getting it out there. All right? So you're going to contact Sister Justice or Sister Ajali, and I'll give that info as we go forward. I don't have any more announcements, Mother Jennifer. What about you?
I don't, Sister Ashley, oddly. No, ma'am. Thank you for just allowing me to say what I needed to and give my thanks and bless you, and I look forward to hearing the rest of the show.
Hey, Mother Jennifer, I have one question to kind of lead in our conversation tonight with Grandma Vicky before I let you go. Is that all right?
Absolutely, sure.
And could you let the audience know why, or let's say, give me some circumstances and reasons why mothers would have to separate from their children? As we dialogue tonight and we talk about, you know, standing for the Most High and making a separation and sometimes children part and go different ways, what are some of the reasons why?
You could have a mother who is knows that she's being called to the faith, and, you know, you could have children who are older or, you know, just a little bit older in age, and they may not have that relationship with the father, a mother who is not married or who does not have a head, and the children want to go with their father, and the mother chooses to move out of the city, to move closer to a community, you know, and the children just, you know, don't want to go. They don't have that love for Yah, and you don't want to force anybody to love Yah. So the children make a decision, or the mother makes a decision for the children to stay with the father. That might be a reason. You might even have a situation where there's a mother and a father, perhaps in the faith, and maybe the father leaves the faith and takes the children with them, and the mother is separated from her children. So there's a few different scenarios that can happen that could lead to separation. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. And if any of you or many of you have had that circumstance fall into your lap, I hope that tonight's broadcast, honestly, will be the first on record for our show to really dialogue about some of the, I don't know, the stance that you can take, the mind that you can have, and the emotions that you can crucify. I personally have children, but I've never lived that experience. And then when I have not had an experience, then it would be foolish for me to speak on it. I'd like to pay honor, give honor to all of you who have lived it, who have sacrificed for the Messiah through your obedience and letting some of those emotional soul ties go and making separations to stand for the Messiah. I'd like to acknowledge those who did it first, initially in the entirety of this ministry, which would be Sister Diane and Granny Barb, also Grandma Vicky and Mother Carol having their own experiences, even Mom Nellie. I have words from each of them tonight. I have some emails. I have some, of course, Vicky's with me for the first initial part of the show. And then I have just some things to read. So I also communicated with Mom Muncie. I also communicated with Sister Monet and Sister Pandy. These are just women in my life who have lived it. I'm banking off of an email. Now, I'll let you go in just a moment, Mother Jennifer. I had an email come in weeks ago that just kept coming up in my mind over and over, and I believed that that was definitely a direction to take us down this road for tonight's show. That email is from a woman who has separated from five children, and her youngest was 1 year old at the time, and it was for the father to follow the faith and to follow Pastor Charles Dow. And in doing that, she separated from her husband. It was a very toxic relationship, and he kept his children. So she lost five children, and she is single and alone without them. So you can imagine just in her circumstance what some of the, you know, the enemy might say, what some of the feelings and emotions might say. So there's a lot of situations that come through, come and go, and I just would like to honor each of you, honestly, being mothers, feeling the way you feel, and going through what you're going through, all for the name of Jesus Christ. So bless you, Mother Jennifer, for tuning in and for checking in with us and giving shout-outs from time to time. I let you go early, and I appreciate you being on call. Thank you so much. Have a good night.
Hallelujah. Bless you. Shalom.
All right. Scoot on up here, Grandma Vicky. I don't like to move my microphone. Sakina gets upset with me. Hallelujah. So we see that chair is all the way up to the microphone. Hey, Grandma Vicky, you're one of the first that I knew that had lived the circumstance that you've lived. A lot of people don't know, and I'm meaning specifically with your children, but you raised them up in the way. So could you share anything that comes to mind with why you had to separate or just the history or background with your children, literally anything?
Well, like you said, they were raised in this from a very, very young age. I started walking this way, of course, not the extent that I do now. I believe Paul was pre-K. He was pre-K. And my daughter, Elizabeth, was first grade.
First grade and pre-K when you brought them to the community, right?
No, not or the community, just but going this way. Okay. So I didn't meet Pastor until later.
Okay.
But we were walking this basic route from that time. Of course, like it started keeping the feast days, you know, keeping the basic things that we learned, clean, unclean, no Sabbath, and all of that. And then that led into more and led more, and then I met Pastor a little bit later on. So they didn't have it their entire life, but they did have it the majority of their lives growing up. And they were both, well, I think when we actually moved here at this particular location, my daughter was already in high school. Homeschooling, and my son was Well, he's 2 years behind her. I don't remember the accent.
Hey, but
anymore.
you are old enough, respectfully, to be my mother. So we talk about it from time to time.
Yes,
when
you and my daughter
are
only a couple of months apart.
Months apart from our natural daughter. And I've met your son, not your daughter. Mm-hmm. And they were both well taken care of in the world when I left. Mm-hmm. So they were gone when I got here, mm-hmm. not when I left. But they were both in the world, you know, jobs, doing what children do when they make decisions for themselves. So thank you for the background. Thank you for the sacrifice and the stand to continue to be an example for so many people. And this is my moment to be the mediator between bringing your story out and trying to help someone. So we'll start, as you heard Mother Jennifer even say, that sometimes a woman has to make a stand and let go of her children as the husband might keep them. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight, too. You have some emails. But in this situation, your children, and I have another email of the same circumstance of Grandma Vicky's, but, you know, your children, they grow up and they desire to work or to depart from the faith, whatever that might look like. So I guess my next question would be, what was the experience like for you, or just the mindset that you had to maintain, you know, to keep your strength as a single woman at that time?
Well, they didn't both leave at the same time because of the age difference. My daughter left shortly after she turned 18, and she did so to marry contrary to my blessings and pastor's blessings, because the situation just wasn't what it should have been.
Okay, so for marriage. She left for
and
marriage.
Then my son left. Oh, I suppose it would have been 2 years later, 3 years later, something like that.
And he's the one that is used as an example of his intelligence, really, or your homeschooling ability, or the community's homeschooling ability at the time, right?
Yes, when he was in the military. Yeah, that's the one where Pastor was contacted by the recruiters when he went to go in to sign up to the military because he didn't have a diploma. Because at the time, we weren't using an accredited program. They were on the ABECA, and they went through it and graduated and everything, but we didn't have the accreditation. And when he went and took his testing and everything, he scored so high that they contacted Pastor because he put him down as the school administrator, whatever, and wanting to know what the curriculum they used and how they did it because he scored so high.
That's still used as an example. So we'll jump back to your mindset for a moment, just when you had to, or when they chose to depart. Of course, they were old enough to do that, and knowing, you knowing the ins and outs of why they did it, or as you said, one was married and one was military. It's a lot to experience, a lot to process just a few years apart. But what, I guess, what did you encourage yourself with?
Well, I mean, your first response is naturally to go to do the shoulda, woulda, could I, did I, why didn't I, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
I mean, you can do that forever and never come up with any, because you can't change the past, you can't change anything. And none of us are perfect parents. But I know I did do it to the best of my ability and with what I had to work with and everything. And And then also Pastor helping me with the understanding that, like my children, they were here because I was here. They did not come of their own free will. They were underage, so naturally they were under me, and that's why they were here. So, one, they weren't here by their own personal choice. Two, you have to learn, in my mind, had to come to the conclusion that I can't live their life. Once they are of age, they have to make their own decisions. And then, of course, they have to live by whatever those decisions bring about, good or bad. As a mother, I cannot save my children. I cannot make them choose to serve the Most High. So that those are things that they have to come to on their own, should the Most High call them.
And there has to be that huge tearing away, you know, even inside in your heart when it happens. Maybe because you've spent your life pouring into them to the best of your ability, and you get really attached and close to something that represents you. And so there's that moment where you go, you're not representing me in this decision, right? So
yeah,
talk about that.
You, and like in my case, especially being a single mother since they were very young, all my decisions I had made in life was all what was best. Rotating around what was best for them.
Yes.
Do I take this job? No. It would put me in a bad location. It would not be good for them. Do I do this? No. Do I take this one? It's not the best pay, but it puts me in the best position to do this. Okay, I'll take this job. And I did some crappy jobs, really nasty, dirty jobs, but it allowed me to be there with them. It allowed me to still homeschool. It allowed me to work, keep a roof over our heads, food on the table. And all of this, every decision I made all that time was always based upon what was best for them. So when you have that initial where they come and say, I'm leaving, or, you know, I don't want to live here, I don't want this life, or whatever, your bottom literally drops out of you. Because you know what they're going to. They don't know. They think they know what they're going to, but they don't know. And you do, because you've come out of all of that. And so, yes, it's very heart-wrenching knowing that they're going out into the world and knowing that the chance of them staying untainted is practically nil. And I mean, you can pray for them to be kept from really bad situations and all of that. But it's still, from that point, it is their life. And it's a life that they have to live.
Absolutely. So you guys hear the word community a lot. And for the majority of our weekly listeners, of course, you get it. You understand community. You even travel to one and fellowship week to week. But there's a large majority of our listening audience, you know, from afar that's not visited community. Community literally is just a homestead, right? It's a homestead. Grandma Vicky's been a very, very instrumental laborer in our homestead from the very beginning in the late 90s. So we're looking at 2023. Do the math. It's over 20 years. At the same time, you have this homestead that requires a lot of labor, a lot of stories behind it. There's a lot of family knitting and family learning, growing, grinding, you know, there's all that. But I just wanted to put that out in the air because there's so much history and experience and emotions and things that she had to have had experienced that you can't just cram into a quick show. But at the same time, throwing the word community back out to the listening audience to tell you that it's just a homestead, so you understand that when a child does make that decision, it's going, we say go back into the world, but it's really you're just leaving your home, leaving your property, leaving the way that we function, which is agriculturally, growing and doing what we do from day to day, eating and breaking bread together, whether it be for a job or as hers, you know, military or marriage. College, etc. They make their own decisions, and I think that's respectful that they're allowed to do that. There's no ill will, and for some of them, there's still open opportunities, you know, to visit or to communicate and come back. So a lot of us in the ministry have small children, so we are at the feet of those who have experienced this way before us and who experienced it for the cause of Jesus Christ, that we would all see the example and follow it. And I just want to acknowledge even the children that left, you know, I know they may never hear this, it's not about that, but just before the Father being grateful for them because they sacrificed, you know, you sacrifice your family and your time with your children on for this community, for what you canned, what you grew, for your greenhouse, you did it all for the Father. And I think, you know, same with Diane, Granny Barb, those who are, you know, had children early on, did it for us, for Jesus, and now we can see it as an example because it will come to many other doors, possibly and potentially. Just because you have children doesn't make them profitable. But anyway, I want to throw that out there. I don't know, Grandma Vicki, I think about, you know, women who are going through it now, and they don't have, like we keep going back to, the circumstances being different and your children making that decision in their age. Some women are separating from children that are younger. Mm-hmm. But what do you say to them for, I think, that's why I wanted to bring up community for you. I think staying busy probably helps you. I'm just assuming, like, did it help you process, you know, you're a very, very hard-working woman and you spent many hours working, and idleness would probably be the devil's playground for the mind.
But and anything, but anything, of course, staying busy keeps you more occupied. Anytime you have a lot of idle downtime, you allow, you know, unless you're very extremely sober-minded and saying in the word, you allow your mind to be the devil's playground.
Right.
And whether, like in my situation where my children are older when they determine to leave, or like you mentioned, those who have young children who they've been parted from, things. You really, not to sound harsh, but you have to really have to have your own mind made up for yourself. That
almost selfishly, really, save your soul.
That you are serving the Most High, that you are going to walk this walk to your best of your ability to serve Him, bar anything. And if you have any wavering in your mind, then it's going to leave a lot of open doorways for the enemy to play with you. And, of course, you know, I hear Pastor mention, you know, women as a whole are naturally a more emotional creatures than men are. So in some aspects, you kind of, not to be manly.
Right,
you
know,
but please. You have to adopt that mindset where you're not being in the emotional state. Not that you don't love your children and you don't wish them to come to the Most High to be saved, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit,
absolutely,
everything, you know, obviously. But you do have to change your mind more to
reasoning.
Maccabees says reasoning, more back to the way a man would think, because you can't let those emotions pull you around. And if you don't have your mind set and made up in the path that you are going, you're going to have that waving back and forth, the ups and downs emotionally, you know, depression, loneliness, or
toss to and fro,
or that, you know, what if I should have, could have done, you know, that all that kind of stuff. And if, when you go into that, then you're going to get yourself very emotional roller coaster ride, and that's a hard way to go. So you do, and I know myself, that's one of the things I did. I
trusted Yah.
I trusted Yah, knowing that one, now it was all them, and if he calls them, he calls them. If he doesn't, then they were never meant to be anyway. And I just had to get that really baseline established in my mind so I didn't do that roller coaster ride.
Right.
And did I do that initially just for them?
Sure.
And, but like I said, but Pastor very quickly helped me to realize and get that set in my mind that, you know, one, like I said, they came here and they were in this walk and everything because I was, not because they were ever doing it of their own free will and of their own choice. And that is also the thing, no matter the age of your children. You know, if your child, you know, because the Most High knows who he calls, who are his. And if they are his, he's going to call them. And so that's just, you know, that's nothing we have a control over. And you just have to walk. Can we hope that they're a prodigal son that one day might return and repent?
Absolutely.
And walk, sure.
For the rest of their life.
For the rest of their life.
You can hope that.
You can hope that, you can, you know, and ask the Father if their hearts are pliable and willing to work on them and to draw them, to show them the errors of their ways. But it's not in your hands to do. And you do have to learn to become at peace with that.
I wanted to ask you to freely speak, I guess, anything that, I don't know if you want to, I don't always want to ask a question and, you know, make you have an answer. I'm kind of like, what would you say, Grandma Vicky, to, I don't know, would you use the words straddling the fence? What if somebody's straddling the fence?
If you're straddling the fence, you're definitely going to have a hard way because you're going to do that bouncing back and forth, back and forth. Because if your mind, like I say, I just keep going back to that phrase, a made-up mind. If your ways are set, your mind is made up on how you are going to walk, how you're going to serve the Most High, that eliminates a lot of that emotional roller coaster. Because at this point, you're trusting in Him, and, you know, it's all in His hands. And it'll be however it was meant to be and supposed to be. If you're straddling that fence and your mind's not really dead set on this way, then you are going to go that bouncing back and forth, that emotional
roller coaster. I know the chat room is really quiet. Everybody really, like, for you, you lived it, you experienced it, you felt it, and a lot of people are just on, I know they're on the edge of their seat. A lot of people are, this is happening to them right now, and I keep just saying, oh, I want to give all praise to the Most High for the fiery trial that has come upon you that will make you stronger. Was there a time that you couldn't probably thank the Father for it? Can you take your mind, I mean, this is many years ago.
Yeah, this is a long time ago.
But you can say thank you now.
I do remember, more so when my son left than when my daughter did. Because I...
Was it more of a surprise? Was that why?
I won't say it was a surprise. I guess I had a little bit more hope that things might work out, you know, with my son, where I always saw the route my daughter was going.
Oh, okay.
And I do remember he had left the land and he came back and he came and found me at the greenhouse. And
you say left the land, he just traveled, like he went to town.
Well, he was working off land.
Okay, so, all right.
And what he did, he went out and he found a way to, you know, some place to stay and all that. And then came back and he came to the greenhouse and he said he wanted to tell me that he was leaving. He was choosing not to stay here. And first thing, I actually sat on my mouth without really even thinking, and I said, well, have you counted the cost? And his response, of course, was, yes, I have. But then as a mother, it hits you, or as a parent, period, he's like, you may think you have,
right?
But you haven't,
right?
And then that night, I do remember. Yeah, I was.
It's almost like a death, huh?
Yeah, it is. You feel like it's literally a death. And I remember just crying out to Father to help me not be bitter at their leaving, and to truly leave it in His hands. And that was, you know, that's one of those where you have a struggle. You're saying it, but you got to keep going through it for a little while till you actually, it's not just your words being spoken, it's actually coming from your heart.
Right.
And you know you're meaning every word.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's the right thing to be asking. But to get to the point where you're actually, you know, you actually mean it. And, yeah, I don't think it took a little bit that night for that to come about. And then, I mean, do you think about it? Sure. You know, it'll keep bringing it up in your mind. It'll keep popping it in your head. and you have to.
I think you brought up an important part where you said, you know, Pastor, you said that twice, Pastor taught me. Mm-hmm. You kind of had to have someone else's mind, which is his at the time, or the Father's mind, right?
Yeah.
And that helped you overcome.
Yeah, he just really helped me understand that, you know, or.
Because your own mind might have strayed.
You're going all the, you know, because you've got the what ifs and should haves and could haves, you know, going through your mind. You know, like if I was would have been a better mother, if I'd been more, maybe less.
Said less of this, said more of
that. More
of
that, yeah, all that kind of stuff.
Wow, I can't imagine.
And, but he just helped me understand. You know, that, you know, every parent wants their children saved.
Absolutely.
Every parent does.
Absolutely.
But you have to get out of that, and you have to, you know, it's not on me. It is not on me. Their salvation is on them.
Yeah, you took it off you. It took some time, but you took it off you. Would you say there's stages, probably, you know, the impact initially of knowing that this is happening, of course, is going to have the most emotional experience, right? But those stages throughout, you know, now you are 20 years or so removed from this happening, you would hear or think different thoughts, right? Meaning what you hear initially.
Oh yeah,
you know,
definitely.
And now you're. What can you say from that perspective about someone who's going to also experience time?
Well, time. We mature, or hopefully, we're maturing with time.
Yes.
We're maturing. You know, in our mind, we're maturing spiritually, and. I think as you mature, you do tend to let go of more things, and you're quicker to put everything in the Most High's hands and to leave it there. I think when you're I can speak for myself, you know, 25 years ago, you try to you think you can input something to change, you know,
hold on a little longer,
or hold on, or to change a direction or a path.
Like there's something you can do.
Yeah,
if you find whatever it is.
Yeah, and,
do
and
it.
It's not that you can actually do that.
Right.
And I think as you mature, just in age and spiritually. You learn more that, you know, you turn things over.
You turn
them over. It's not in your hands. And then you get a lot more peace. And now, if one of my children would come back, I'd be, you know, kicking up heels and, you know. And
yeah.
If they decided to serve the Most High.
Yeah.
And all that.
Kill the fatted calf. And,
yeah.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, me too.
I would. For you, with you. Absolutely.
But it's like anything else that's going on in your life that you're struggling with, you'd have to turn it over.
And maybe these questions are redundant and getting the same answers. I don't think so. One sister in the chat room says, I'm just in awe. Hallelujah. I'm in awe. What about the worry when there is the separation? What do you do when that worry is there? How do you get that out of your mind? Worry of where they're at, what they're doing, or what may be happening to them. You know, the mind or Satan will bring to your mind the worst. I know at your experience, 20 years removed, you're going to have possibly less worry because you have the maturity now. But how can you reach those listening?
I haven't had contact with any of them, either one, in a very long time. I haven't had contact with my daughter since probably early 2000.
So is
and my son since maybe late 2000.
Is the worry connected to the contact, maybe, or just
the more you're in contact with them? I personally think the more you worry about them.
Okay.
Because it's constantly bringing it back up to you, or like if you would happen to speak to them, or you'd happen to get a letter, or, you know,
yes.
a telephone
Keeping
call.
Keeping it fresh.
It definitely, now, you know, I'm not saying, because I don't know about situations out there, you know, to cut off all communication or anything.
But to be wise, right?
But you definitely be wise, because they're going to, you know, your child, no matter how old they are, they're going to pull at your heartstrings. And the more you allow that, the more you're putting stumbling blocks in your way of being that pulling this
yeah.
way and that way and the back and forth.
Having more days impacted by those negative emotions,
mm-hmm.
right?
And maybe more doubts or more questions of, you know, should I have allowed this? Should I have more contact? Or should I do... You know.
Yeah, all the should I.
And now I wasn't contacting them, but when they initially contacted me after each one respectively in the time, I responded. Kept things, you know, civil, you know, inquire, you know, just kept things basic but not, you know, kind of long handled.
Yes.
And I did of each one of them until they disrespected me. And directly disrespected me, said things that they really should not have said, being that I was their mother, whether they were here or not. And when each one of them did that in turn, at that point I had no more contact with them at all.
And I really admire that strength, Grandma Vicky. I know that's we're a dying breed. You're a dying breed. Everyone doesn't have that same, you're called a dinosaur. You ever heard of dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Dinosaurs are those, when they're gone, they're gone. Like their mind and everything with them. Is that how you thought, you know? But it's good to hear. It's good to hear that mindset and your strength and your stance. So people can make strong
yeah.
stands. Like you said, we don't know everybody's circumstance, but... I appreciate yours.
I mean, because like if one of them would contact me now and repent for how they spoke to me with what they said, I would open communications again.
Absolutely.
If it stayed respectful.
That's how the Father is, right?
Yes.
With us.
But I'm not going to chase them down.
Which is important. That's the
looking
word.
For the answers, looking for them to... You know,
think about me, a mom, but, you know.
No. They're going to have to come in. And if they don't, they never do, then they never do.
And that's more order, you know, no matter how much pain you have to go through to get to that mind that is order. It's nice to hear. We're going to hit a ministry break. I'm going to let Grandma Vicky think of anything that she hasn't said, and then we'll let her say her goodbyes or her anything, Grandma Vicky. Let's play a song. We'll be right back. I'll make sure my speakers are turned up. Appreciate Goshen and your music. Thank you.
You give me joy, 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 joy. You give me joy, 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 joy. You made me whole. You give me joy, 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 joy.
Hallelujah. I actually forgot to mention that we had received a strike on our channel after last week's blog talk. I referenced some, You know, I got to reword it because the algorithms are picking up my words. I referenced some symptoms and some conditions of disease to spiritual reasons. And I kind of did some, you know, fun facts, I call them, but I just shared this could be the reason for that, and then we talked about something else, and then I said this could be the reason for that. I kind of intermingled them all throughout the show, but algorithms, YouTube, whoever, whatever, picked up on it, gave us a strike. We were forbidden to upload all week long. If you noticed that our channel had no action, I wanted to tell you. And, of course, when you can't upload, I couldn't come on the channel live and tell you that we couldn't upload. But this is the best way to inform each of you from week to week. We're back. We're live with Grandma Vicky, Sister Vicky, Vicky Short, who has been on the community for over 20 years on this homestead with us, who has had many experiences spiritually, emotionally, physically, and I appreciate your sacrifice. I really do, and I am prying into her mind tonight in reference to making a stand and making a separation between her and her children. So thanks for tuning in. If you're new to listening, that's what we got going on. Grandma Vicky is going to share anything and everything else that might be on her mind as she wraps up her visit. I was actually scrolling through my phone, Grandma Vicky, to find the picture of me and you in this old sound room. I think that was the last time you were on the show, right? Have you been in this one?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. And so I think it was Lisa. Lisa took a picture of me and you. It's just from behind us while we sat over there. We talked about the greenhouse or whatever. And I have that on my phone, and I wanted to share it before Vicky was gone just to get her smile or her laugh. But I couldn't find it, so I just sat my phone down so I could focus. Back to the topic, back to your heart, Grandma Vicky. Share with us.
I guess parting words would be, whether it be your children, your family, natural family, whatever it is that you're having, maybe having trouble letting go, just consider if these, whoever it is, if they don't bring you edification, if they don't strengthen you, if they cannot show you respect, common decency, if all they do is, you know, try to bring you down, send forth their jabs, their barbs, you know, whatever it is, you are better off without those people, no matter who they are. And I would say, you know, be at peace and let them go. Because all you're going to do by trying to hold on to those relationships is just continue to bring yourself down even more, you know. And you can let those things hang on to bring you down enough to where they could actually pull you out of faith. And so if they can't strengthen you, then you are better off without those people in your life, even if that is your children. Now, I realize that would be more older ones than younger ones, but, you know, but still, if the situation brings you down constantly, then there's nothing there lifting you up, edifying you, strengthening you. It's just constantly weakening you. And to let go and give it all to the Father, and let Him bring in those to fill those gaps. Because I'm like here, and a lot of times it's like, well, don't you ever want to go visit so-and-so type thing. And I really, unless someone brings this stuff up, I rarely even think about any of my natural family. And now, granted, that's been over a process of time, but none of them edified me. None of them lifted me up and strengthened me. And so why put yourself in the position where you're always going to be brought down?
That's wisdom. Hey, but I know me and Grandma Vicky had a little laugh at the Shabbat food line when I said, did you see my hand? I was lifting up my hand to go to Goshen with you, Grandma Vicky. Now, I know. Look, this is Grandma Vicky. This is the one that's going to Goshen that Pastor mentioned, you know, giving her a hard time, but he's going to allow her to go. Abigail and Amara is going to go with her. I just had to put my hand up just for Goshen to see, just so you know there's more people than just Vicky that needs to go. Guess what? I've been, though. So I moved myself out of the way. And I wouldn't be the guy that would be picked because I got the children. We're going to ruin the trip. We're going to stop two or three times or whatever. We'll be such an endurance. But, hey, I had to at least put my hand up so Vicky knows I'm willing to go with her.
Yeah, because
that's your family.
This is my family.
Yes.
And, cause like, I mean, how many grandchildren do I have here? I mean, I know of at least seven that I have. I think over half of them I don't even know their names. And, but here, you know, like
yes.
these are my children. I've got all these daughters,
right.
You know, and yeah, this is my family. And so.
So you are traveling to go see your family.
So I am traveling to go see my family, just not that other family.
Praise God. I appreciate that you've, you know, been through the years and lived long enough. Did you ever foresee the ministry growing like this?
No,
I didn't either.
That was always my biggest struggle,
yes.
Going from what I always called, we went from a family to a ministry, and that
big
was always
struggle.
My biggest struggle.
Isn't it? Yeah, I guess just because we have so many memories that are, like, etched in that concrete of how it was. But then at the same time, a lot of beauty, a lot of beautiful
yeah.
things have
yeah.
come from
mm-hmm.
this, too.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of changes, you know. Hallelujah.
It just changed the structure of everything.
Yeah. It did. Gosh, that's a whole other show.
Yeah, that's
like,
a whole other
next one. Week, me and Grandma Vicky, right? Talking about what it used to be. No, you know they want that, too. Here comes all the chat blowing up with tell us old memories. But, hey, thank you. Thank you, Grandma Vicky. And you know what? I don't know if you've ever – I've never personally told you thank you for everything that you taught me. I actually do – I have said it on the show before that I've learned a lot from you, especially naturally, especially in the early years when we had a lot of time together, preparing me also for a children and a husband. I do and still have many things that I have applied that you teach me, and you have endured many, many children like myself coming along, forgetting, and you having to tell us over and over, and forgetting, trying our own way outside of your instruction, and then you having to tell us again. That's kind of motherly, but it is her role. It's quite one of endurance, let me tell you. But thank you. Thank you for your years of sacrifice, and if your children were here, I would say thank you to them as well, to the children who did, of course, decide to go into what we call the world and live another life. They still sacrifice many days of their life, of their mom, you know, here. And it's just none of it was in vain, not for me. But I thank you for tonight's show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please come on again, right, everybody? Let's get that shofar blow. And you know that Sakina is on the road, so she can't blow it. Let me hit it. Hallelujah. This is for my Grandma Vicky.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.
Hallelujah. Bless you from the crowd for our Grandma Vicky. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has given us pastors according to his knowledge and according to his heart to feed us with understanding. And let's move on. So I got a stack in front of me. Y'all already know, I said it previously, that I don't have the experience of losing any of my children to the world, or them making a decision to live another life. But, hey, there's someone in the chat room that's already sharing that she said thank you for sharing this, that she has a 25-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old granddaughter. So we all have families. We have connections, you know, soul ties. There's nothing like a mother's love. We know Matthew when he said that he that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. We know that. But when it comes to really living it, it's a lot of pain and emotional experiences. So I hope that this stack of emails and a couple of questionnaires that I have, I hope that the rest of this show will also edify you as many circumstances in your life that would make you separate from your children. I want to acknowledge each of you as mothers for having the love in your heart to train your children and hopefully train them up in the way that they should go. But he that taketh not his cross and who does not follow after the Messiah is not worthy of the Messiah, regardless of who they are. I do want to acknowledge our Creator, my Abba, your Abba. He said in Psalms 89, to his firstborn, that he would make his firstborn. Now consider, he has children too. He is a father. He said he would make his firstborn higher than the kings of the earth, and that he would keep his mercy with his firstborn forever, and that his covenant would stand fast forever with his child, with his firstborn. He also said in Psalms 89, just a few verses away, Psalms 89:30, that if his children forsook his law and walked not in his judgments, and if they broke his statutes and they kept not his commandments, that he would visit them with transgression, he would visit them with the rod, and he would visit their iniquity with many, many stripes. And that is what happens to those who return to the world. They do get many stripes. But the hope is that what the mother and father have poured into them will always stand from the inside. There's a verse that I love out of Proverbs 1:8 that says, my son, hear the instruction of your father, and to forsake not the law of your mother. So I also would like to say that it is okay for the mother to acknowledge her feelings and to acknowledge that she also has a law that that child shall abide by. You know, we are patriarchal, and we do focus a lot on the father and the importance of the father, because the entire structure of the family is built on the father. But that mother also has a law. It's Proverbs 1:8. She has a law. Obviously, she has it based on her headship, her husband, and her Messiah. But she has a structural order of being an authoritative figure over that child, and she's very connected, you know, to that child. So I want to read my first, let's see, I actually had a list of everything that I wanted to read tonight, so I'm going to go on and put a check on Grandma Vicky. Hallelujah, Grandma Vicky is, I hope this is in order, any kind of order, you know. I try to just kind of put them in an order for us to follow and not be all over the place. But here's another one who's had a very impactful experience. As a mom, your heart usually, Some sisters, I ask them one specific question. Some sisters, I ask, could you send encouragement, right? And this is one of those. Could you just send anything that comes to your mind to encourage those who are experiencing separation with their children? I didn't, knowing her busyness and her life, her lifestyle and everything that she has going on, I just wanted to keep it simple, but I wanted to pour her wisdom. So this particular sister has shared and said, as a mom, your heart usually goes out for your children from the moment that they are born. You never want anything bad to happen to your children. Your heart's desire is to keep them safe and happy at all times. Protection for them from anything that might bring them harm, hurt, or danger is the focus, but unfortunately that is nearly impossible in a world full of temptation. Society has created so many ways to draw our children's minds and attention away from the things that we teach them, wishing and desiring only but good for our children, of course. And see, she even referenced the things that you teach them. I go back to Proverbs 1:8, the law of the mother. So she says, when my sons had left the house, and in her circumstance, her children had also decided to depart from the faith for a season. And so she says, when my sons had left the house, I had to trust the Most High with all my heart. At first, it was so painful. I had to remind myself that salvation is an individual thing. I knew in my heart that I could not save them. I had to allow Yah to deal with them. That meant I had to remove myself from their situation. So I did not get involved in their lives or the decisions anymore. I would pray, Yah, if they are yours, keep them in my prayers, that I may intercede for them, standing in the gap between them and Yah, being that strong tower of defense against the enemy, against them. I prayed this prayer daily, asking Yah to keep my heart from hurting, and my mind from being full of thoughts and confusion, worrying about where are they going, how are they doing, what did I do wrong, what could I have done differently, will I hear from them, should I call them? On and on, the many questions would try to bring so much pain and torment to my mind and heart, a heart that was so weak I could barely breathe at times. And one day, while counseling with Mother Jennifer, she asked me, have you ever broke ungodly soul ties? I was confused. Break soul ties? I thought, well, why would I want to break soul ties with my own children? As she discerned my silence, she explained, not soul ties because they are your children, but ungodly soul ties, the ones that tug your heart and steal your peace and yeah. And I then realized that was exactly what I needed to do. And I quickly repented for allowing my feelings and emotions to be controlled and manipulated by anyone or anything except the Holy Spirit. And I asked the Most High Yah to cut and sever any and all ungodly soul ties that I had with my sons and to keep me and my mind stayed upon him where I could find my peace and safety. And I asked him, Father, if my sons are yours, then keep them in my prayers, but if they are not, remove them from my prayers so that my heart will not be troubled. After that prayer, I felt so much freedom and peace knowing my heart and mind was safe in him. And the one thing I did not do was call them or text them to repent or to turn them from the way that they were going. I did that before they decided to leave, reminding them of all that they had been taught by Pastor Dow. If and when they called or if and when they visited, I would not ask questions like, are you coming back? Why don't you see that world is full of death and destruction? Have you thought about repenting? Why did you choose to leave? No, I did not. I removed myself and I allowed Yah to have his perfect way in their lives. Sisters asked me, do you think they will come back? How do you feel seeing them? And many other questions. But I just look at them and I smile because it's all so surreal to me. Yah has been good and faithful and I have a lot of gratitude in my heart. My words of encouragement to all mothers is don't get in the way of what Yah is doing in your children's lives, whether they are one day old or 50 years old. Allow Yah to have his perfect will in their lives. Remember, we are here as the vessels used to bring our husband's seed into the world. Yah knows those who are his. Stay encouraged. Trust in Yah with your whole heart and your mind. Very good. Next, and remember each person that I'm reading from, having differences in their circumstances, have all felt the pain and the reality of the loss or separation from their children, choosing to live another way or having to separate because the mother is choosing to live another way, okay? That's the main focus because these are not my experiences. All right, I ask a aged woman, do you have something to encourage others about who are having to separate from their children? Do you have something from your experience? Because she also has had a very painful separation. Lots of details, very impactful story. That's not for tonight's show, but her answer is, hallelujah. She voice noted me through Polo, her answer to my question, and then I asked Amara to type it. Amara types quickly, and that's how I get it done sometimes. And I always tell the person that I'll be using, you know, their information or their thoughts on the show. I don't, you know, leave them in the dark. So they know. She knew I would use this tonight. So she says, this is a very tough question you've asked me, and I pray that Yah gives me the wisdom to say the right words. You're the first person to ask me this question. I don't know if sisters avoid asking the question because they're afraid of an answer, but I'll tell you this. Hallelujah. And I'll pause right there and I'll say, I was surprised for just a moment that I was the first person to ask her concerning her circumstance. But then on the other end, I wasn't surprised, and I have to spend just a moment explaining this. As we grow to be family and we grow to understand one another, you know, woman to woman, and even understanding another woman's husband, not wanting to cross red tape, not wanting to, you know, make mistakes or speak and communicate things that didn't need to be, you know, we have to learn so many people. And because of that, it keeps us from time to time doing what's morally right, what's biblically right, which is to care for one another and to be kind. You do have the free will to be kind to one another and to communicate to each other, obviously in treating one another with love. And it is okay to ask someone how they're doing or to hug them or pray for them. When you know someone's going through a circumstance that, you know, you haven't lived, or just getting someone else on your mind other than yourself. So just for a moment, I was surprised no one had asked, but then on the other end, I quite understand, even personally understand, why questions aren't asked, if that makes sense. So I hope that you all know that you've been given the spirit of liberty here to communicate to one another and help each other and strengthen one another. You'll learn along the way. You'll make mistakes along the way, but it'll teach you order. So she says, it's the most painful thing sometimes, the Most High Yah taking your children. It's very painful. It's like a part of yourself going away. It's like a part of you being gone. You still pray for them, that one day they will see the Most High Yah and put him first, and maybe one day they will come back. I will also tell you this. There are no words to describe how you feel, and the only thing that makes you strong is your faith in the Most High Yah. When I read about the widow with the seven children in the Bible, she saw them one by one dying, but still had faith in Yah. I pray to Yah and I tell him, this is my test. My test to see if I love you, because there's no one like my Jesus. You cannot put anyone first, not even a child. He has a purpose in life for everything, and you have heard me say it before, but we either put the spirit or the flesh first. I like to walk in the spirit. My flesh should be dead to the things of the earth. So my hope is in Jesus. My love is in Jesus. I know there is no word to tell anybody how bad the pain is. I know there is no comfort on earth for those sisters that have lost their children in the faith. But if they put their faith in the Father and put the Father first, the comfort will come. The Father gives us wisdom, too, to be more patient with one another and with other children, because we know what it's like to not have our own. I hope what I'm telling you will touch someone's heart. Don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. We do not know what the Most High Yah has for us tomorrow. I see some of the children coming back to the faith, and there's nothing more joyful. But you have to give it to the Most High. I remember seeing a sister who was crying because she had to leave her daughter, and I told her, don't cry. Don't feel bad. Give it to Yah. Give it to the Most High Yah with all your heart, and you'll see how things will change. And it was the most beautiful thing when I saw her reunited with her daughter, because the Most High Yah does know, and we don't. Have faith. Put everything, your faith and your life, in Yahweh, and the things that he has for you will come down. Shalom, my sister, and bless you. Hallelujah. It's very impactful, even for me, you know, just choking up tears, having empathy for those of you in experience, knowing some of you personally. Just know that I can't take the pain, but I do care. I wanted to also go to 4th Maccabees tonight, so maybe this is a perfect opportunity, because she referenced it also in her answer. 4th Maccabees chapter 16 and 17 is really powerful. And it says, if then a woman, in verse 1, advanced in her years and a mother of seven sons, endured seeing her children tortured to death, it must be admitted that reason is sovereign over the emotions. Okay, so reason is like the focus of the next few verses that I'll share, because she felt what we've never felt. But at the same time, being a mother, we have empathy and we can share in what she felt. So she says, or this says, verse 2, that I've demonstrated not only that men have rule over their emotions, but also that a woman has despised the fiercest tortures. So this is a huge account, right, of this woman's ability. But check out what the next verse says in verse 3, 4th Maccabees chapter 16. The lions surrounding Daniel were not so much a savage, nor was the raging fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego so intensely hot as her innate parental love. So the lions surrounded Daniel were not the savage that her love was for her sons. And the raging fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was not as intensely hot as her innate parental love. Inflamed, her love was inflamed, verse 3, as she saw her seven sons tortured. And the mother quenched so many great emotions by devout reason. It's really our only hope, right? When you're experiencing such great traumatic emotional, when your mind is running on a thousand. Verse 6 says, Oh, how wretched am I, and many times unhappy. Now, this speaks for the emotional impact that the woman is having as she is experiencing the loss of her children and seeing their torture and their torment. And I'm not going to read a whole lot, but I just want to share this so that you know there is something in the Word to help connect with you in your circumstance, right? But then we're going to continue in our emails, and we're going to gain strength tonight. But she says, verse 6, oh, how wretched am I, and many times unhappy. After bearing seven children, I am now the mother of none. There's a lot of pain in that. Here's another painful statement. Oh, seven childbirths, all in vain. Seven profitless pregnancies, fruitless nurturings, and wretched nursings. Verse 8, here's another thought. In vain, my sons, I endured many birth pains for you and the more grievous anxieties of your upbringing. There's another painful thought. Verse 9, alas, for my children, some unmarried, others married, and without offspring, I shall not see your children or have the happiness of being called a grandmother. Here's another one. Verse 10, alas, I who had so many and beautiful children am now a widow and alone with many sorrows. Next verse, when I die, shall I have any of my sons to bury me? But it says, after all that, because that's a hell of an emotional impact on your mind to hear these thoughts that she's having and to experience seeing their death, right? But it says, yet the sacred and God-fearing mother did not wail with such a lament for any of them, nor did she dissuade any of them from dying, nor did she grieve as they were dying. But having a mind like adamant, I looked that up, that means unshakable and unmoving. Having a mind like adamant, she urged them to take death for the sake of their belief. And I know her circumstances, you know, set apart and different, but so is yours and hers and hers and hers and hers and Vicky's, you know, and Barb's and Diane's and Mother's and Nellie's and Monet's and Pandy's. These are women in my life experiencing it, right? And so it says, it's unreasonable for people who have faithful knowledge not to withstand pain. That's verse 23. It is unreasonable for people who have faith and knowledge not to withstand pain. That means it's going to happen. But by the righteous words of this woman towards her seven sons, she encouraged and persuaded each of her sons to die rather than to violate the Most High Yah's commandment. And that, in your story, is what you're doing when you make a stand for your belief. When you make a faithful, knowledgeable stand for your belief, you are also encouraging and persuading your children not to violate the Most High Yah's commandments, just doing it a different way. So that's 4th Maccabees. I don't know if they would encourage you in your private time. Let me move on to Mother Carol's email that says, first and foremost, it is okay to feel in this area. You are wives, mothers, and sisters, and friends. You were created to nurture and support. So if you don't work on your feelings and emotions in this area, then the enemy of your soul will do it for you. Turning back or leaving It has never been an issue for some, but however, I know it's not the case for all. Okay, so turning back and leaving can be an option. Building your relationship with the Father and becoming strong in Him plants you in a position where no matter what happens or comes your way, you will stand for Him, knowing that you will be tested and tried for the faith that you say you believe in. The same strength you had in the Father to leave all must be even stronger to stay when your heart starts to pull and tug at you to make you think you have made a wrong decision. The blueprint from Satan is to destroy you, and what easier way for a woman through her husband or through her children? Yes, your heart will feel, but you also must be so sold out to Yah that you have the balance between feeling and casting the first stone if need be. Right? I'm going to say that again. That you need the balance between feeling and casting the first stone. Right? She speaks to those who know the law. That if your child is in rebellion, then you need to also have that fervent love for the Father that you would separate from anyone, right, who is not in love with Him. Back to her email, direct your prayers for your children in such a way that you are more concerned for their soul than their feelings if they are grown. And direct them for their protection and their moral guidance if they are with an ungodly spouse. If they're called and chosen, then they'll come to Him through His perfect will. Immerse yourself in Yah. Find an area of biblical study that really interests you. Fast and feed your soul. Pray without ceasing. Even while you are carrying out your duties daily, converse with Yah in your mind. Ask for His strength to help you through the difficult times. Possibly when you see other families that are happy, allow yourself to be happy for them. And always remember the Father's great love for you, that He chose you to be saved. With much love and much care, Mother Carol. Hallelujah. I'm going to reconnect with my chat and see how you guys are going. Silencing faith, Sister ASS. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So powerful. Thank you for sharing this wisdom, the chat room says. Hallelujah. All right, I'm going to continue. I have three more things to read, and two of them are lengthy, which is what I wanted. All right, here's the questions. Question number one, Sister Barb, what could possibly cause you, a believer in Christ, to separate from your husband or your master and your children? The answer was, fearing Yah came as a result of a drowning accident that she had. She said, in my death-to-life moment, Jesus asked if I wanted to follow Him. When I said yes and I awakened alive in the hospital, this started my journey to loving my Savior plus nothing and following His plan for my life. Reading the Bible began to impact my mind on go and sin no more. I question Yah, how do I do that requirement? Jesus began to teach her the Hebrew family customs and the reality that few would be saved. She realized the seriousness to her soul salvation and the doctrine of separating from marriages from strange nations. Okay, so she was married to a man in a completely different state before I ever met Granny Barb and before the saints here did. She said, my reality was to be a commandment keeper and a child of Yah. So my answer is not what possibly caused me to live godly 7 years before my unbelieving family, but it was who. And the Jesus was the who. So what possibly caused her to separate from her husband was most definitely Jesus. So when did she decide to completely sever her relationship? Does she stay in contact with her former spouse or her children? She stated that she loved her role as a wife, that she loved motherhood. She was dedicated to unceasing prayer after finding, of course, the faith. Her former spouse, she had three children. She birthed them naturally. She breastfed them for proper nourishment. So she was a devoted wife. She was a stay-at-home mother. And she had her children educating them 24/7. So she said, Wisdom quickly taught me that I would be judged on the role by Christ, and with His love, I rejoiced in my role. Even through all the rejections that came with my faith versus my family's unbelief, I saw myself in a role no different in love for offspring than the mother with her seven sons, which we referred to tonight already. She says, I too endured each of my children as the devil worked against my teachings of true faith. due to lies taught by unbelieving family members and a polluted Presbyterian church doctrine. I realized, like our ancestor Samuel, that they were not rejecting me, but Christ, as they cleaved to the world and the fleshly lifestyle taught to them by their father. Y'all was preaching from a Jeremiah 3:15 pastor, Pastor Charles Dow, helped me overcome like the mother of seven. The natural sympathy for them, which seeked to turn away my spirit, they were allowed by the family court judge to submit letters stating their disapproval of my Christ-centered motherhood. Upon their graduation from high school, I stopped the one-way phone call, and I've not received a call from any of them. It's been over 12 years ago. I just checked out a documentary that gave an example of a man who opposed his 13-year-old daughter receiving hormones to change her gender. The school allows her to take them and does not allow the father to say no. Him and the mother were married. They were all in one home, and he has since been locked up in jail, not allowing his daughter. He made a stance, and he won't allow his daughter to take the hormones, but they didn't care. And the woman being interviewed who is involved in this system daily says that whoever wants that child to take hormones to change their gender, whether it's mom or dad or school, the courts will side 100% of the time with the person persuading that child to change their gender. That's where we're at. That's amazing, right? So just over 12 years ago, when Granny Barb's experience, she was even up against societal rules, you know, society, and even a letter that I read earlier, Mom Nellie, who spoke of the temptations that are endless that come for the minds of our children. The next question for Granny Barb was, how can you go on in your life without the regrets and the guilt and the condemnation? How did you master, you know, the unloving spirits of bitterness and self-hatred and jealousy and rejection that was warring against your decision to really make a stand and separate? And she mentioned committing, of course, to follow Christ and being a soldier in his war against Satan. So she said, I chose to follow the footsteps of Christ. Not only did she read about the patriarch's faith in their afflictions, but she quickly learned firsthand of the devil and the attacks on the straightway community and the saints' lives early on, years ago. So she forsook Christianity. She forsook all unnecessary societal agencies, right, forms of weapons of warfare. And now Pastor assured her that the fight against condemnation was still being fought by many. But she said, I first questioned him upon arriving in the faith. His vision given by Christ is why we have not perished. So she has Christ's peace. I'm living joyfully daily, she says. I'm thankful for the privilege and honor to go on in this life and fight the good fight of faith and lift up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ against these things. So the war is continuous, you know. And what were some of the steps that she took to let go of the desire to turn back? And she said Jesus had filled her with the genuine Holy Spirit. Promises guide her. The truth guides her. Rather, for her, the question was if there was any change in anyone coming to her. So the last time that I questioned him, I knew it was the same answer, but with a complete ending. No more questioning, right? So she wasn't going to question the Most High anymore. She had a deliverance minister once write how rebellion in a family is like a runaway roller coaster ride. And living with her very rebellious family was much like that. It was a lot of ups and downs, no stops ever planned. Another minister said that if Yah ever provides you with an opportunity and a platform to step off the roller coaster ride with an out-of-control family, don't miss the opportunity to get off the ride. So 3 years after hearing that and hearing those warnings, that was her two witnesses to depart. And this was back in the day, obviously before she had even heard of, you know, pastor or had examples of people leaving their children. So there's a lot of pain, right? So she was abandoned by her former spouse, left in a hotel room, had her children taken away from her in front of the police, who couldn't help her, with a supposedly canceled credit card, blocked access to any bank, no money was in her pocket, and had no car. She was taken to poverty level, literally. And she says, like her forefathers, you know. The irony is that the calendar on the refrigerator was marked Passover week of 2004. And I, at that time, had no idea that it was even Passover. But, she says, he freed me from Egypt, right? So she said, do you know one of the people that supplied money for me until I got my credit card back? Pastor Charles Dow and the Straightway Saints. That was 2004. So she said, thank you to the Saints of Yahweh for rescuing her at her great hour of need. And so she shares Jubilees 19, verse 28. He has given me rejoicing over despair, depression, and sealed the root of evil up from me. She said, I obey his commandment to no longer be curious how the ungodly will be punished, but to inquire how the righteous will be saved. And the greatest comfort that she's had is a repentant heart and a new family. And the household of faith, that's all been the mind of Christ for her. So in accordance with the word comfort in the Strong's, she also referenced, was concerning our work and our toil, comfort. The love of Christ teaches us for our own soul's sake to forgive others. So she referenced that forgiveness was so important so that she did not carry regrets and offenses towards those who had hurt her in her previous relationships. And the Holy Spirit's comfort has taught her about her own sinful errors and to help her continue in repentance to not look back. She's had compassion that replaced bitterness and gave her the right attitude. And I'm reading hers now. But she says, love out of a pure heart deals daily by crucifying the flesh. True wealth is best defined by the actions and the fruit seen from doing Yah's will. And obviously, of course, it is Yah's will that you would love him and make a stand for him, that you would take up your cross and follow him. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, right? So she says, even though her spouse was a great provider with a six-figure income, he totally rejected the love of Christ. He resented her following the man of Yah, Charles Dow. His constant moves to new cities due to job changes was exhausting and very stress-filled. He was verbally and physically abusive and deprived me of social contact many times with the Straightway Saints. After rejecting my attempts to reconcile and demand to go to a psychiatrist, I cast the cares for my future on Christ. I met Pastor Dow 25 years ago. Her standard of living has skyrocketed, thanks to Pastor Dow, Mother Carol, and Straightway Saints. Her move 19 years ago to the community has kept her in the will of Yah, ever-creasing in her faith. She says, since then, I've not been to a physician, a dentist, an eye doctor, or a chiropractor. I've not been on prescription or street drugs. I'm in absolute optimum health to the best of her age. I regularly work out aerobically, but I still run the hill. She says, quite a standard of living, and she teaches PE to the children at 62 years of age. Hallelujah. So, yes, indeed, she says, Yah has healed her heart. The year that her firstborn son told her mother that he would have been too uncomfortable to invite her to his wedding, she knew that Jesus had interceded. So there was a separation that was obviously becoming very permanent. I remember traveling. Hallelujah. Let me see what she's... I'm reading as I remember, but I traveled up to her home. It's not her hometown. She's been everywhere, Granny Barb, but to where her children were living. We left from here so many years ago, y'all. I didn't have any children, so you know it was over 10 years ago. And I traveled up to a graduation of her son's. I had a really nice time. And I made sure, just like her, you know, become all things unto all men that we might gain, you know, and had an enjoyable time. But yeah, they made their decisions to stay where they were. So you can tell. She says her firstborn son's name was Scott. And she said, look at Jesus. He replaced him with dear brother Scott here at Straightway Hub. And then she says her other son was Patrick. And now you know she's got a dear son, Patrick Moore. So that's cute how she's liking it. So she said, you can guess my smile as I see my spiritual family show up in here. All the cries of bless you, Granny Barb, bless you, Granny. She said, y'all was giving me so many loving daughters to replace my natural daughter. I've lost count. But here's a quick note from the first ever address that she was issued. Here's the quote. It says, for a woman who has loved me mercifully and unconditionally, never miss your family for one moment. They are all physically replaced for the remainder of your term on earth. I love you, Mother Barb. Signed, Ashley Bell. Before I was Ashley Bell, she put a quote in here from a note that I wrote her. Never miss your family for a moment. They've been replaced. Like, oh, look at me. Don't forget to love me, right? That's cool. That was back when I wrote her a lot of love letters. That was before any of my children, too. We're family, right? She also loved and referenced Pilgrim's Progress. You guys heard that? Seen that? I know. You can't go with the 2020 animation, all right? That's cheating. You got it, like Mother Carol told me, you got to read it. And if you don't want to read it, just do the audiobook, right? She didn't say that to me. She said, I got to read it. I'm adding a little fluff saying you guys can check out the audiobook. But it's really good, Pilgrim's Progress. The story is amazing, right? Precious Granny Barb, bless people. I'm reading the chat rooms now. The love of Jesus, the source of all wisdom. Bless you, Granny Barb, for standing firm, right? She said, be serious-minded. And be sincere in your commitment to Christ and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Next one. Same questions. What could possibly cause you, Sister Diane, what could possibly cause a believer in Christ to separate from her husband or her children? She referenced four verses. Out of Corinthians, the woman which has a husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him, right? Then she referenced in Corinthians, but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. Okay, because it does happen. A brother or sister is not under bondage. Yah has called us to peace. Okay, so that's a good concrete example of separating from your husband. She says, we ought to obey Yah rather than man. Truly, she says, only the love of Yah can give the strength and the courage and the drive to press on in him. May I also say that as a believer, and living what his word says, and having his fear, if he, the husband, isn't pleased to dwell with her, if he isn't pleased because of the word, then more than likely there isn't peace in the home, in the house. So, that's what it was in my case. As I started learning about the Sabbath day was Saturday, and to keep it holy, I was amazed at how much separation and anger this caused in the house. There were threats that even if I knew it was time to move on, it was then that I knew it was time to move on. I held fast to Yah and his word. Some friends opened up their home to me, my son and I. And she referenced Ecclesiastes 12:13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Yah, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. All right, so Grim Diane, when did you decide to completely sever your relationship? Did you stay in contact with your children? She said, when I was told to make a choice regarding the Sabbath, I chose the seventh-day Sabbath. Because of my choice, that severed all relationships completely. I lost a husband, I lost security, I lost food, money, etc. And a friend, of course, as she referenced, opened up their home. But she said the relationship was completely severed. The relationship got really bad. When she would even mention the Sabbath or ask questions, it wasn't yet, she wasn't even yet keeping the Sabbath correctly the way that she wanted to, but even the mentioning of it. She said a sister at the time called to invite her to fellowship on the Sabbath, and he answered the phone. And he told me later of the conversation, and he told me I had 2 days to make a choice. Will I keep the Sabbath or not? And I chose to keep the Sabbath, to his surprise. So there was a lot at stake for me. I chose the Sabbath day, and I lost everything, home, security, everything that she mentioned already. But if she didn't keep the Sabbath, then she would have been comfortable in the flesh, right? All right, so next. How could you go on in your life not having regrets and guilt and condemnations over the decisions to leave your family? Because, of course, she had a son, if you didn't know that. So because the relationship with her former husband had gotten so bad, there was no regrets. As the song goes, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, and I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world has to offer. Now, another trial in her life came when her son, at the age of 9, wanted to go live with his father, and it was the hardest battle emotionally to that point that I'd ever faced. So what helped me get through, first and foremost, was crying out to Yah in my prayers, reading and holding fast to his promises. Then it, too, would give me much strength and encouragement knowing that others had gone through the very same thing. And also, it would give me peace in knowing that Yah picked me up out of a horrible pit and called me on his own. And I had hope for my son, truly, but I couldn't save him. Only Yah could save him. So regarding her son wanting to live with the father, guilt and condemnation and suicide really tried to get her down. So how did she overcome? She let go of him. She placed her son in Yah's hands. She said, I can't save him. She said, I had to completely trust Yah with his life, knowing that he picked me. But if he wants him, then he will do it. I can't do it. So what he has done for me, truly, he can do for him. And I had to trust Yah. So what were some of the steps that you took to let go of the desire to turn back on your decision? She said, this was something that I did not deal with going back. There was nothing to go back to. Right? So that was a simple answer to that question. But she also said she never had that desire. If there was any desires to return or go back, she would encourage herself, you know, always breaking ungodly soul ties, you know, any memories that came up, getting a deeper relationship and a commitment with Yahweh. And I think that's important, too, to always go deeper when the memory surfaces and brings up pain. So how did you cultivate joy, Diane, in your life when the spirits show up to try to cause you to, you know, despair and depression? How did you have joy? And she said there was peace and joy only in Yah, knowing that I was standing on his word. Quoting the word, standing firm in his promises, and truly Granny Diane can quote the word. It's pretty impressive. She cultivated joy when thoughts would come. She didn't want to harden herself to the thoughts. So there's guilt and depression and bitterness, and of course you don't want to feel it, right? But she would consider reason. Isn't that interesting? That's what the woman of seven sons did. And she said, if it's making me feel guilty, could it be something that I need to repent for? Like regret, suicide, bitterness. Consider there is so much freedom in acknowledging the truth. And in truth, there is freedom, right? So in freedom, there's joy and peace. So there's something to repent for. The thoughts are something to repent for. Diane, what comforts has the Holy Spirit given you in all the years of living without your former family? And obviously going through the trials of any kind, her greatest comfort, she said, is and has been getting alone in him in prayer, really hearing from him, just knowing that he is with me, carrying me through, and his word, knowing that his word says that he won't put on us anything more than we're able to bear. His thoughts for me are thoughts of peace and not evil to give me an expected end. Comfort in knowing that others in the faith have gone through similar experiences as a testimony of what Yah can do for those that love him. Right? So while going through the trial, it gave her comfort knowing that others had actually experienced it. Think it not a strange thing concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you. She referenced 1 Peter 4:12, as though some strange thing happening to you, but rejoice that you are a partaker of Christ's suffering. So, Granny, do you have a better standard of living? Absolutely. Now? Sure. peace and harmony. Couldn't ask for a better life in any way. So, striving on community, she says, for holiness, to be righteous together, being perfected, having the same mind, striving for perfection and unity. Yes. So, what about Yah healing your heart? Has he done that? Has he given you satisfaction with the spiritual family replacing anything and anyone former? And yes, of course she's going to say yes. She says that her heart is healed. It's full of joy with so many daughters and grandchildren. So many, I can scarcely count them all. And he's healed me, made me whole, as I've worked through each setback or each spirit that has came to me. I've worked through it with repentance and deliverance and much prayer. And hallelujah, he has fulfilled his word and given me 100-fold in this life. And I look forward to the life to come as well. All right, and I'm wrapping it up. Last two questions. Are you more mature Hebrew living this scriptural life than when you were in your former, with your former life? And I'm, of course y'all know yes, but you want to hear where her heart goes. And she says absolutely. I scarcely remember the old woman. Truly applying the word is peace, joy, and happiness, and not just reading it. I have to humbly admit, be vulnerable before him first, before I'm ever set free. Hallelujah. And then what advice do you have to help any sisters who's going through a separation right now on how to successfully find peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of accusation and hatreds, in the midst of other violent works of Satan? And she says, I would encourage her to really consider each voice of accusation and hatred, one thought at a time, to renounce any and all curses spoken, to repent for things done wrong, have humility, have meekness, soft answers, turn away wrath. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. So in other words, just stay quiet. Just stay quiet. And that is definitely something that she has mastered. Praise God. I hope that you all have gotten what you need to out of this broadcast. Some of us are scattered so far apart that maybe you didn't know others were experiencing what you're experiencing. Maybe you just didn't have the opportunity to connect with one another. I hope that this connects you. I do want to end with this last email from a sister who had to let go of a very young son. And he was a son that even I loved. He was in the faith. He was close to, you know, my children, other children. I really love this little guy. You know I love children. So it really touched me when I told Deacon's boys, they wept. One of them even like cried that he was going to be gone. They couldn't understand why. You know, it was the first time someone around them that they knew was being taken. Like, why would you separate a mom, dad, and children? Like, why, right? Because all they know is what's within our home. But she says, shalom, Sister Ashley, and shalom to you, Mother Jennifer. Bless you and love you both. Having to let my son go back to his father was something that I feared, not knowing what he would go back to. If I would be able, let me pause for a second. Some women honor the man, the father of their son or of their children, and give them the, I guess you could say, God-given right to, like, would you want your children? And that's a custom that we build here in the restoration of our word, because the child is the possession of their father in a natural sense, right? None can purchase you but one through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's our Savior and our Master, but the children have that opportunity to be with their father. And we go completely contrary to this culture that you see, right? This culture is very matriarchal and very, you know, motherly, giving the children to the mothers. But you see where generation after generation, where it's gotten us, right? A softer and softer and effeminate nation. And so it's an honorable thing that she did by letting go of her son or communicating to the father, right? And the father taking him back. So not knowing what he would go back to, because she's in the faith, that's what she speaks of. So she said she didn't know she'd be able to see him or communicate with him. There were worries about him being taught the ways of the world rather than the ways of Yah, because he is young. And were all thoughts, these were all thoughts that would torment me. She said, I remember sitting down with my master now, sharing with him what was going on in my mind, and he told me that it was a test to see if I would be obedient to Yah and be obedient to Yah's order, if I would be willing to give up someone who is precious to me, someone I love, to love and serve him. He encouraged me to seek the Father and express to him what was on my heart, and I did so. I got on my knees, crying to Yah, continuously asking him in faith to please give me the strength that I need to endure this trial, and that if my son is his, to please bring him back to you and your people. And when it was time for my son to go, a peace came over me, and I immediately knew everything would be fine. I still get to communicate with him, which is a blessing, and it turns out that Yah has already been dealing with his father and his father's house, since they're keeping the commandments of Yah now, and they're watching and listening to Pastor, and they're now a part of this ministry. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. I'm so grateful to Yahweh for preserving his people and adding to the assembly. Overcoming this situation has strengthened my faith in Yahweh, and it's encouraged me to stay the course. A scripture that encouraged me through this trial was James 1:12. Blessed is anyone who endured temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's a damn good verse, my sister. James 1:12. Again, blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Hallelujah. I'd like to once again thank the Most High Yah. To him be all the glory for his selecting process. And for all of those who are making decisions daily within your own lives to make a stand and to feel what you feel, to hear what you hear, have the emotions that you have, and to still side with reason. May the Most High Yah continue with each and every one of you who have sacrificed your children and your time with your children for him. Hallelujah. Bless you all. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Thank you so much, so much, so much for supporting the show. Again, let me remind you that we haven't been able to upload all week long because we received a strike on our channel that forbid us from any uploading due to some comments and things that I had said on last week's show. Bless y'all and good night.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding.